I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is another lousy edition of What's Bugging You? You promised human lice this week.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about crab lice. Blood-sucking crab lice, also called pubic lice. They get the name crab lice because of their crab-like claws. There was an article that appeared recently speculating as to whether or not the crab louse was becoming endangered in
I hope so.
In developed countries like the United States and Australia because of the disappearance of its habitat.
Oh, that's funny.
Exceedingly well-groomed people think Brazilian waxing is literally destroying the crab louse's habitat.
Unbelievable.
And so they're still out there. They're not in danger of becoming extinct worldwide. But in some areas, doctors report seeing very few cases. But I thought that was an interesting little story to go along with crab lice. Recent DNA analysis of crab lice have revealed some interesting things. First of all, they evolved from gorilla lice, and I'm not suggesting anything untoward between early human ancestors and gorillas, other than it's possible that early human ancestors may have slept in gorilla nests recently occupied by lousy gorillas. Another interesting thing that they've discovered with the DNA analysis of crab lice is the fact that there are three lineages based on DNA analysis along with the geography of these species. Each one of these probably developed on three hominids all around the same time, Homo erectus, Neanderthal, and early Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens and all of these lines of crab lice are still with us, which suggests that all three of these species at some point in our evolutionary history interacted in one way or another. There's still a lot of research that needs to be done. This is all very preliminary, but it's interesting because the evolutionary history of parasites tends to mirror that of their hosts. So when you are able to gather up this information for one, it gives you insight into the evolutionary development of the other. The data that we're gathering from the louse analysis provides us with insights that we're very unlikely to find through fossil evidence looking at the human side of the equation.
Crab lice don't limit themselves to specific regions. I mean, you can find them on your body elsewhere, right?
No, they tend to be in the pubic area, but in heavy infestations, they'll occur in the beard and mustache and eyebrows and that sort of thing. But generally, they stay down in the nether regions.
Either way, they can be a horrible stigma.
Yeah, there is that. I remember being at an open event at a museum where people were bringing in specimens. It was BYOB, bring in your own bug. And I would put them under a microscope and identify insects for them. And family came in with their little baggie with an insect, and I put it under the scope, and it was a head louse. And I said, well, where did you get this? And I could tell from the reaction, they suspected what it was, and they were just mortified, which is too bad because it's not unusual to have head lice among children. They're very sociable little creatures who are hugging each other and sharing coats and hats, and this is how they get spread. So it's not uncommon to have louse outbreaks in schools.
So just deal with it.
Just deal with it.
Dr. Art Evans is the author of the National Wildlife Federation Field Guide to Insects and Spiders of North America. You'll find photos, audio, and a link to Art's blog at ideastations.org/radio/bugs.